Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today on BBS Radio and out of San Francisco. And I want to thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. We've had some technical issues this morning at the station, but we're getting them worked out. And I appreciate you so much for all listening so much today. And also, thank you so much for all of your beautiful support. Out of This World Radio is one of the most popular spiritual and metaphysical radio shows in the world, with over 200,000 listeners in over 100 countries. So I want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful support. And I really want to thank Doug and Don for all their fantastic support as well. This Monday, November 2nd, is my birthday, and my present is all of you listening today and making this world a much better and happier place. I can't thank you enough for everything you're doing. On today's show, I'll be discussing the pivotal U.S. election next week. It's on Tuesday. And the U.S. elections represent a turning point in American and world history and a chance for all of us to have a better and happier life. I have a pre-record I did with several political commentators and myself yesterday. I hope they can play it during the first hour. If not, then we'll just be discussing it here. Messages from several from Plutian Admiral Halosaurus, as well as George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John F. Kennedy, and other U.S. presidents will also be given during that first hour. During the second hour, I will be discussing life aboard a Plutian mothership with Admiral Halosaurus of the Plutian star family, as well as James Hugh from Honolulu, Hawaii. He and I, James and I, go aboard the ship regularly, and should be an amazing interview. The ship itself is part organic and part metal, and it's controlled by the thoughts of the crew, so that you always have to be have good thoughts while you're on the crew, or else you could cause serious harm about aboard the vessel. So that's one of the things you learn when you're first on there. The crew itself comprises of about 5,000 people. They are in the fifth dimension, which is like third, except it's much higher and a much higher vibration rate. They all live about 1,000 years and or more, and they communicate telepathically. So language is secondary on the ship, and it's an amazing place, and we'll be going to there during our second hour. I have to tell you all that all eyes are on this Earth right now. Many different civilizations are watching planet Earth now to see what kind of choices we make for the future. But I know we'll make the right choices, and I know that we have a beautiful and bright future ahead of us. I frequently do time travel. And to prepare for the show, last night I went into next summer. I went into the spring and summer of 2021, and the message I got is that that all these troubles were behind us by then. We had started on our path to ascension, and with many negatives being eliminated from the planet. Out of This World Radio is a listener-supported radio, and if you'd like to donate. There's a couple of donate PayPal buttons on my website at www.outofthisworldradio.net, and it's either $5 a month or $50 for the year, and I really appreciate your beautiful support and help. In addition to this BBS radio here in the San Francisco Bay Area, I also broadcast in Miami, Florida on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on WWNN radio on 3 FM and 1 AM station. Broadcast information can be found at my website, again, at www.outofthisworldradio.net. In addition, I also broadcast out of Vienna, Austria on Monday evenings from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central European time, or 12 noon to 2 p.m. Pacific time on Radio Soul International. For broadcast information and to listen, please also go to my website at www.outofthisworldradio.net, and you can plug in to that station too on Monday nights. That station is in German and in English. I'll be starting a new Spanish language program 1 week from today on November 7th, starting at 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time, again on BBS Radio Station 1. And I hope you'll enjoy the show. It'll be directed at Spanish-speaking people throughout the world, especially in Mexico, Central, and in South America. And in January 2021, I also be expanding to Phoenix, Arizona, with a listener base of over 4 million people. So that'll be a fun show, and I'm looking forward to that. Broadcast information, again, will be available on my website as soon as it becomes available at www.outofthisworldradio.net. I've been in touch with the other side for the past over 25 years, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones or have a good reading and contact those who've passed on or even animals or pets that you may have had, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also have a website for booking spiritual readings or to join my spiritual mentoring program. That website is www.outofthisworldreadings.com, and you're welcome to go there anytime for a good reading. When I go to Mount Shasta, I get these beautiful crystals. They're Lemurian quartz crystals from Mount Shasta, and they're infused with the love and light of Telos and the hollow earth. And what I do is that I couple these Lemurian crystals with these 528 hertz tuning forks. And when you hit them together, you get the vibration of love everywhere. 528 is the vibration of love. And so what you're listening to now is the vibration of love. And I'll hit it twice more. That feel nice. If you'd like one of these, just let me know. They're either $50, $60. You can just simply go to, www.outofthisworldreadings.com and get that, and order it there. No problem. If you, or you can email me as well at outofthisworldreadings.com and all the information is there. I go to Mount Shasta several times a year. Mount Shasta now is shifting into the fifth dimension, and I know that it's an amazing place. Both James Hugh and I go there regularly, I'll be bringing him on the second hour. But looks like James has come on early onto the show, which is fine. Hi, James. Good to see you, my friend. James is in Hawaii, so it's a little bit different time there. But I had planned to have James on during the second hour, but I might bring him on early, only because we're having some technical difficulties with the pre-record I had for the first hour. So I might bring James on for this first hour. In addition to Mount Shasta, I also go to Peru several times a year. Next year, I'll be going to Peru in January and again in March of 2021. And when I was there in January in Peru this year, we went to the south part of Lake Titicaca and to a stargate called Amaramuro. And there we were greeted by a chorus of children and young adults singing to us. It was a beautiful experience. What happened is that we went up to this rock face, and in the rock face itself is a chair where people sit and meditate and go into a garth in the hollow earth. And what was interesting is, what was fascinating is that when we were there, a whole chorus of children were singing to us when we were there. And so it's an amazing place. We'll be going there as well as Machu Picchu, which also contains entrance into the hollow earth. We'll also be going to the Nazca Lines, which is an ancient landing spot for UFOs into Peru, and a museum in a place called Paracas, which is on the coast of Peru. The museum itself has a series of hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls, which are just simply amazing. The skulls themselves go way, way back, and they have a huge cranial capacity. It was an attempt by an extraterrestrial race to introduce themselves to planet Earth, but it failed. But there's quite a bit to tell about that. I'll be having a show on that sometimes in the future. I want to tell everyone, too, I've been collecting monies to help the beautiful Hopi Indians in Arizona get clean water and food supplies. The food supplies to the reservation have been cut due to this virus pandemic. And so I've been raising money for food for the Hopi, as well as on the Hopi and Navajo reservations. They've been drinking arsenic and radiation contaminated water now for the past 50 or 60 years. It's amazing, really, to think about that other places in the United States, most of us have clean water, with the exception, of course, of Flint, Michigan, and those poor people drink really polluted water. But most of the U.S. has clean water, except for the Hopi and the Navajo, especially the Hopi. The problem with the water supplies in the Hopi is that the water is so badly contaminated that men only live an average of 44 years, and women only live an average of 54 years on the Hopi reservation. I don't find that situation acceptable. So for the past 2 years, I've been raising monies for the Hopi, for our nonprofit that distributes water filters to the Hopi people. So far, we've raised over $35,000, and we've made a real impact on the Hopi. Also, too, I want to thank American Airlines and President Trump for their beautiful support of the Hopi. Recently, at the urging of President Trump, American Airlines now, their ambassadors program is giving $20,000 toward clean water filters for the Hopi, and I can't tell you how happy I am. President Kennedy has said that this is the kind of cooperation that we need to make this planet a better place, regardless of your political viewpoints, regardless of your party affiliations, regardless of what you believe in. I believe that we're all human. We all have the spark of God or the supreme being within us. And once we realize that, these differences and our silly arguments about who's right and who's wrong about politics and all kinds of things will disappear, because we'll realize that we really do need to live, to take care of each other and live in harmony and peace on this planet. And if you'd like to donate, please send me an email to outofthisworld 1150@gmail.com, or for information, or you can just go to my website at www.outofthisworldreadings.com, and you can click on there for the information. Just say miscellaneous for the information to donate. There's a prophecy rock on the Hopi reservation, and it's a huge rock where at the bottom line, the line is straight. It goes all the way across the rock, and it's set into five different segments. And those five segments represent the different dimensions. We're in the third dimension now. Hold on here. It's in five different dimensions. Hold on here. It's in five different dimensions, and if we take care of ourselves and we live in harmony and peace, we have a beautiful future ahead of us. There's another line above this straight line around Prophecy Rock that's just above it, and it goes up at a 45 degree angle, zigzags, and then ends, and that's what will happen if we continue to fight and argue. And so that's what'll happen if we continue to fight and argue. We will end, our civilization will end, and I don't think anybody wants that kind of end for us today. We've worked so hard. We are meant to ascend into the fifth dimension. And so that is our present to ourselves. And we have a beautiful, beautiful world ahead of us. All we have to do is just make the right choices, and we will have it. I'm going to bring on James Early onto the show in just about 2 minutes. James, I was going to have you on the second hour, but I'm going to bring you on the first now, or hour now, because of our technical difficulties. I want to explain just really a little bit about Halloween. I didn't realize this the other day, but my good friend Carolyn White in Olympia, Washington, she's a fantastic psychic and medium. She gave me an explanation as to what Halloween, how it started. Halloween was the day on October 31st, 12,500 years ago, when Atlantis imploded. It completely destroyed itself, went beneath the ocean and in the Atlantic Ocean. Also, Lemuria was destroyed during that time. And the following, I guess it's called, a couple days later, was All Souls Day. That day, All Souls Day, was the day in which the souls who died in Atlantis were remembered. So that's an amazing story. We'll have to have a show on that sometime in the future. But I think it's a history that I didn't know anything about, and that's the true history of Halloween. How it relates to Atlantis, it actually came from one of the three Maya books which escaped the Spanish destruction of their culture back in the 15th and 16th centuries. So it's an amazing topic to think about, and so it all has a basis in history. And so I'm going to switch the hours around today. We'll go ahead and bring on James now, my good friend from Hawaii, James, and then we'll be discussing the U.S. elections during the second hour. But James, it's so good to have you here. Thanks so much for calling in early today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I can hear you fine. I could say something like, you have 10 PhDs and the winner of 5 Nobel Peace Prizes, but I'm not, because that's not true. But you are a good man, and you were with me at Mount Shasta recently, and you've been going with me up toward the Pleiadian mothership with Admahalosaurus. And tell us a little bit about those trips, James, and I'm sure my listeners would love to hear about it.
The first day you brought us up to a ship, right? And you say you go look out the window and you will see the earth and control panel. I didn't see all those. I saw the this big head guy, this big head person, and like a real long head.
Oh,
And
really? Wow. Okay.
And so this person kind of showed me to the pool. He's just staring at the pool, right? And the
Right.
pool looks like this, kind of show me who is pool here. He's standing on overlook this pool here, and tell me to get in, so I get in there. And I just got the found the color scheme looks so like Star Trek Discovery now they're having on the CBS OSS.
Oh, hold that for a minute. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, the
Wow.
like Star Trek Discovery. And so I get in the pool and stay there for a while. I didn't see any of the everybody like what Deborah and everybody else saw the Earth, you look at the console and stuff like that. I totally lost. So next day when I went back, and they tell me to I the pool's drained, right? It told me get into this dense chamber here.
Okay.
And so I just got in there and hooked me up with a whole bunch of wires. And they post two guards in the front. This is the first time I see the humans on the ship.
Okay, those are Pleiadians, aren't they?
Although Pleiadian, yes,
They're
they are.
Pleiadians. Okay, great, great. They usually have light blue uniforms. That's right.
Yes, light blue, that kind of
Yeah.
paint it, yeah.
Yeah.
And the pool's drained, but they tell me to get into a stasis chamber and hook me up with all the wires. And from there, I'll stay there for a while. I have a question, and I see the vision. Let me describe what it looks like. There's a whole bunch of like a lightning web of lights, lightning webs of lights around half of Earth. The other half of Earth like a golden color or something,
Right.
like lightning rings of, and on top of the a magenta color ring of fires around them.
Wow. Yeah.
But
Wow.
what do you think those are?
That's great. Now, is that your brain, or is it showing that how they're raising consciousness? Is that someone's brain, by the way, or is that the earth, or what is that exactly?
I think it's Earth.
It
Yes,
is
it's
earth.
Earth under here. The rings of fires like a net. So I kind of wonder, what is it? Like a space stationery or what? What do you think it is?
Okay, I think it looks like the energy networks around the planet Earth, James. That's what it looks like. Yeah, it does look like that. That's amazing. Yeah, that's
Only
amazing.
half of Earth. I don't wonder why they leave the other half open.
Right,
So
right.
anyway, they park a spaceship down around the lower right corner,
Okay.
and they have a. While I was in the status chamber, right, I organized the fleet into a cubic formation, and then somebody told me they've hold the formation for 3 years. That's what the message I got. I got hold it for 3 years.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing.
And from there, I also get a message. Like they were saying, the Pleiadian and the well, reptilian, they don't mix. There's a, what do you call it, the light chart. There's a, it's a visible light, humans right in between. The Pleiadians on all the way to one end, and the reptilians all the way to the other end. So they
Oh.
do not mix.
Could you put that a little closer to the thing and hold it there just for a moment? That
Yes.
is totally interesting. Wow. That's the first time anyone's ever showed that to me. Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure my listeners will find that too. Now you're looking at different, is that millimeters or nanometers at the bottom? Is that right? The scale of light?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so the Pleiadians,
yeah.
All right, the humans are in the middle there between ultraviolet and infrared rays as far as our perceptions go. And then you said the Pleiadians are all the way to the left.
Way up, that fifth dimension.
I see, fifth dimension. And then the reptilians, which are our lower vibrational species, they're all the way to the right. Is that right?
Yes, like way lower, very, very low.
I see. Okay, interesting. Fascinating.
They told me they don't mix. Only time they ever mix is that when they jump in the ship, this UFO, the UFO ship frequency, everybody, they can see each other. Other than that, they don't see each other at all. Human right between have to be determined which way it goes. So
interesting. Wow.
They can shoot all the reptilian ships down, but this won't kill them all because they're still embedded in the human world. So they need human to do it to the reptilian. That's what I get. And Mada. So where counseled me around rock 4-5 spend on earth. 4 or 5 feet tall being, I'm trying to read my notes.
That's all right, James. That's all right. You can do from memory too. Yeah.
They were saying the reptilians kind of tricky. I was kind of asking, you know, why this light thing? It's light thing. It's like they can detect the reptilian, but if they have AI, you know, the robot they created, anything they do, they cannot detect it. So if they do bad, robot do the bad things, you know, like on some sort of program, it's very hard for them to detect anything.
I see.
And so some sort of AI problem, and they need human to fix it or something. And it's very, very difficult for them to pinpoint it. Like those saboteur on Mount Shasta, they were saying that it's kind of hard for them to detect any of those behavior until it surfaces too late. And a lot of the election things nowadays, they have put perfectly normal people, friendly people, but they would act real violently, brainwash them. So it's kind of hard to detect that kind of behavior. So they need us to do, human need to do something to help them out. They can help us as much as they want, but still we human need to come up with the solutions. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound like we are being infiltrated by alien races, you know, and I've been here as long as you, you know, been here. I was in continent Lumeria. I was in Egypt too. And so we've been here a long time. We were here since the Earth was a little desert outpost. And so we are not like an invading species or something, but we came here a long, long, long time ago. And it gave us four stories saying that the reptilian was here before us and something like that. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, James, we've known each other for many lifetimes, and the Earth itself is starting to ascend now. And as it ascends, that's why we came in contact with each other now. I know that we'll both be serving aboard the Pleiadian mothership later in life. So this is not wasn't an accident meeting you, and I'm so glad to get in touch with you again.
Yeah, it's like I have to apologize for my accent because I came from Taiwan originally.
Okay.
Let me tell you something about the 2016, January 18, 2016. I had a dream, right? I had a baton. I woke up with a baton in my hand, commanding baton. And first thing came out of my mouth when I woke up, right? I ordered solar sun into ramming speed. I don't know what that means. I just ordered going to ramming speed. But 2017 and 2018, I get report from some, she's a little behind schedule. Now it seems like they're catching up finally, the speed, ramming speed. You know, like Roman ramming boat, they're catching up to the ramming speed. Mm-hmm. I ordered ramming speed back then.
Wow.
Let me look at my notes again.
Okay. All right, James, take your time. I've been told by Palladian Admiral Halosaurus that this is a pivotal time in human history. I mean, I know we're going to make it through okay, but the choices we make now will affect us for many tens of thousands of years in the future. So but I know everyone listening today wants to make this world a better place and bring love and light to the planet. We're all here to make this earth a better place, and that's why we've chosen to be here at this time. Tell me, James, what messages have they given you, by the way, from the Pleiades?
I went up to a ship, on the 27th, right? Actually, I want to look what the Pleiadian ship looks like. And I went and asked them, just show me what it looks like. Okay. It looks like this. In the front, it looks like the Falcon, Star Wars, the Magnesium Falcon.
It looks like part of a tuning fork, actually, like the one that I have here.
Yeah, and in the middle part is the concave part, and then that's real heavy. So the solid base, like twin hull, and this is a mothership, what it looks like, tuning fork. I heard when they turn it up, right, like a quarter of the galaxy can hear it. I wonder if your listener knows about the old Robotech cartoon. They send Ming-Mei out there sing this song and all aliens just disappear. I think when they turn it up, all the reptilian going around and hide.
Wow.
I just checked on the, 17 or 18, on the 29. Okay, I didn't get my note organized.
That's all right, James. That's okay, my friend. I appreciate all your messages you're giving today. When you were aboard the Pleiadian mothership, you told me a couple days ago, James, about robots coming out and helping you. What was that like?
Just a whole bunch, like a 4 or 5 foot short robots, and was a white uniform and like a dark brown or dark yellow color, and running around the ships. You know, the old days, like Mr. Spock have to go to radiation chamber and get killed. Now say they can send the robot in just without any problem. They can get killed. That matter to throw them away.
I see. Interesting. Wow.
I'm running around the ship with them, and they show me everything. Oh. Let me tell you what happened on the Sunday rectangular.
Okay. After you share your notes, I was going to ask you about going into the healing chambers.
Healing chambers. Oh, yeah. That day, I went to the healing chambers. You told me to get in the bathtub, right? So I got in there. So I was driving down towards Sacramento an hour and a half later. I saw Jaylene got out of the bathtub. I can see her torso in her yoga pants, her butt and legs and I just saw her get out of the, and I saw a uniform hanging on a wall. I look over, it's like a dark navy gray uniform. I look at it, it told me the uniform's for me.
Oh, it's, really? Wow.
Yeah, the how uniform works, you have DNA in your body, it match up with your DNA on the badge, is in sync, and send a signal out. So you can access this part of the ship. And my number is 5. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about which day was it. Wednesday? On the Tuesday, 29th, I went up to this gigantic reception hall, right? Or cargo bay, or whatever, or shuttle bay. And I saw this lady with a bump chest. I can see that bump chest. So she must be a female. And she has this badge on, I believe. And see coming up from both sides of the badge. And it has a number on it. So I start reading a number. The number is like 591320001. And after that, it's 0002. She's number 2. And I believe she must be a captain.
Yeah. That's the Pleiadian symbol you saw upon the ship, right? On the uniform.
Yeah, on her chest.
Okay, interesting.
And she's really friendly. And there's like a hieroglyphic in front, hieroglyphic in the back. I think the front and her name. The back is that where what star system she came from.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing, James.
And she welcomed me to her ship. And then after that, I went to this engine room, right? And they showed me this engine, they're pumping the energy between the hull, some sort of energy between the hull. Finally, I start seeing humanoids, the tall blonde we talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And on the October 5th, right, I went to a ship again. I see gigantic creaming hull, like creaming white hull. And I see everybody ghosting around me, moving real fast, right? So wondering why everybody doing that. And so if I get off the ship, I figure out I was out of phase.
Okay.
And so, okay. When I go back next time, I make sure I catch up enough speed. Like you're catching up with the train, you got to run fast along the train fast enough to jump on the train. If you're too slow, the train will pass you by. I was too slow for them.
Okay.
On 10/13, on the October 13, I went up to a ship. At first, I see the thing looks like a Star Trek, the captain chair. It's like a backing behind it, or elevator shaft behind it.
Interesting.
And in front of it, finally, I see the control panel and everything. Gigantic hall. With all this terminal in the front, three person sitting here, two person sitting here, and also all the windows overlook the Earth, look outside the spaceship. I finally see the humanoid in front of the control panel the first day you talk about.
Wow.
So I was kind of excited about it. And I was going to leave because I don't want to bother people, right? They say, no, you stay. And they told me to just watch how they run through the whole program over there. I watched them run through the whole program and just supervise them, just look over them. And I think it's twice as big as this gigantic hole for the control bridge. And on the 27th of this month, I went up to this, you know how Hawaiian do the honies that touching forehead to forehead. And I did a honey with a person. Did you ever see the Pleiadian collapse their hand? Welcome somebody, collapse their hand. How they collapse their hand? Try ask, maybe you can ask the Emerald, how do they collapse their hand?
Collapse their hands?
Yeah, how they welcome somebody, collapse their hand.
Oh, yeah.
How do they do that?
I see them, actually, when they greet each other, they put their right hand, if they're right-handed, over their heart and bow their head like this to greet each other. It's like our handshake. And have you seen that as well, James?
I was in this gigantic hall, right? And with all the people standing on a ledge, looking over some sort of ceremony or something, I can hear it. I see the collapsing the hand like this on top of each other.
Interesting.
I'm not sure which way is on top, which one on the bottom. Everybody doing this. I can hear it real loudly. And I see this person in front of me. Like gold color. It's kind of weird. He looks like triceratops with a big head, the bow head, bow backward.
Right.
It looks like this.
Interesting. Now was that one of the robots, or was it organic?
I'm not sure. He's wearing this cat cap and uniform. It's a whole thing gold, everything light gold color. And the face looks like a little reptilianish, but it's golden color. I wonder who is this person. I saw three officers stand behind him, so I know he's friendly. I can feel it's kind of warm and very excited to see me. I wonder who that is. Yeah, can you ask who that person is?
Oh, the human or the robot?
Yeah, this person here. I don't wonder who is this person.
Actually, it's an old soul you've known before you came to this planet. You volunteered to come down here. And
yeah,
all of the people on the ship, on board ship, is part of your family, our family.
Yes, they were told me I'm family.
Yeah, your family. That's right. Yeah.
And this person, the bow of me, touching forehead, do a whole new of me. On this retinue ship, and Emerald stand behind them. Emerald and the two other persons stand behind Emerald. They are all in security uniform, real sparkling purple uniform. Kind of very interesting. And so they bow to tour me, do this whole neat thing. So I just reciprocate the gesture. And that's what I saw. And this is a robot welcoming me. Two tall robots, 7 foot or 8 foot tall robots welcoming
Interesting.
Me.
Interesting. Wow.
I was wondering what, just everybody else is humanoid, but this person is like, looks alienish, you know?
Yeah.
Alien.
Right. What I'm getting from the Galactic Alliance on what you saw there, that life form, was that there are many different varieties of humans in the universe, and that's just one of the many. It's that entity is not Pleiadian, but it is another life form that is on the ship working with the Pleiadians. So you're seeing a couple of different species there.
Yeah, I don't see a tall white all the time, so I'm kind of wondering. But I get this friendly feeling and real woman friendly feeling.
So
I'm happy about it.
Well, that's good. James, we've got about 15 minutes, and I wanted to let you know that so that, you know, if there's any topics you wanted to cover. Did they give us any messages for the future?
Let's say humans have to do their part. They can do the air support as much as they can. Like the AI thing I was talking about earlier, I was kind of volunteer to give my help to Trump. I volunteered my service. I wrote to Donald Trump, wrote to Laura Trump, wrote to Kellyanne, everybody. But since I've been ignored, I even wrote to the send my application to the State Department. I volunteered my service to become ambassador to Taiwan. I didn't get anything back yet.
Give yourself some time.
Yeah.
It's going to be a year or two, but you will get noticed and you will be employed in that capacity, but a little more time.
Yeah, right now it's kind of tricky because let me talk about Vietnam War, right? Okay. Vietnam War, U.S. was supporting South Vietnam. Then South Vietnam did a coup, the military coup. So the government is no longer legitimate. Compared to the North, they just fought with French, so it's a legitimate government, even though they are communists. And so that's how we kind of lose it, because you lose the legitimacy, supporting the losing side. You can bomb as much as you can, but you cannot win over heart and mind people. It's kind of hard. And so something is, or the China problem is, China seems to be legitimate, but Taiwan itself having a problem because there was a coup inside the government right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's just like when you look at Donald Trump's election rally, it's full of people, and Biden's nobody show up at all. And right. say Biden won, it's impossible. And in Taiwan, same thing. The opposition, tons of people shows up. The present president have nobody want to show up at all. And she took over everything. The military judicial like turned into a dictatorship. So it's kind of bad for Taiwan. So for us to continue to support the government is kind of bad. So we're running into a real dangerous area like back in Vietnam days.
Oh,
it's not good for anybody at all.
Hmm.
You know, China is a word that created in 19th century. Before China, Qing Dynasty, the northeastern barbarian came from northern eastern part of China.
Right.
Before there was a Ming Dynasty, you hear about Ming vases.
Yeah.
And those China is called themselves Ming before the Yuan or something. But after they called Qing, so a lot of Westerners came to China. At that time, Qing, Chinese called themselves Qing, right? So in Spanish, it's a Qing woman, China, Qing, China.
Oh, interesting.
So the word China, where China came from, the uh-huh. Chinese don't call themselves China at all.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of things came online around 19th century, and so does they import the communism. Communism just invented around 19th century by the Rothschild and all these evildoers. So it's a totally foreign concept to China, and took over China and stopped bashing everything, smashing up all the artifact and everything, and destroy the culture, destroy the language. A lot of Chinese language original is hieroglyphic words. Everything or hieroglyphic that
right.
destroy it. They chop up the words. So let's say as a person, you chop up the body, don't leave a head. Chop up entire body, only leave an arm. That's why the modern Chinese, simplified Chinese, looks like chop up. So when you read, it's very difficult to understand what they're saying. But if you read traditionally, you don't read each word. You scan the picture. Looks like Egyptian hieroglyphic, and you get a whole feeling of an idea. For you to understand the idea, you just look at this thing so you can understand the whole idea. So they were telling me it's kind of hard for them to do the AI monitoring. They put up this big net thing, but it's up to us, the human, to do the rest of parts. I'm not quite sure how we're going to handle it yet.
Interesting. I've been told by Admiral Halosaurus that there's over 2 million ships now, Pleiadian ships, circling this planet to help us.
Two and a half million.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Good. All right. Thanks. 2.5 million. Many of them are drones, but they're also staffed as well. They won't interfere unless we ask for help. So I've urged everyone, if we need help, to simply call upon them, and they'll be here to help us. And I'm so glad that they're here. I really am.
Yeah, we got air support, but we need the ground force. Everybody need to mobilize. Humans need to do it themselves. That nobody else can do it for them. We need to do it ourselves. But the tricky thing about that thing is that they bring, whenever you go college, first thing they do, they brainwash you, everything. So a lot of people believe Democrats are for the good of people. Republicans are evil. They're totally opposite of what they are doing.
Right.
And so all these college graduates, the leading them, I believe it's a Black Lives Matter and all the protests, they're actually doing a lot of bad thing for the wrong people.
Right.
It's not
right.
good. Luckily, I escaped the whole cycle when I was young. I didn't went through college when I was young. I get a college a degree later just to have something under my belt. But
sure. James, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I went to college and I got 4 degrees in 5 subjects, but I think I've got a good mind still. So I haven't been totally brainwashed.
As I get my friends, they all went to college. You cannot talk sense into them. They still believe in global warming and things like this. And you can lay all evidence in front of them. They cannot make any sense out of them.
Right, right. Let me read you a quote. And this one, it's in a book by my friend Shane McMinn. He was on my Miami show yesterday. And the book fell open to this quote, so I'll just read it to you. How fortunate for the leaders that the masses do not think. That's from Adolf Hitler, of all people. And you're able, of course, corrupt political leaders are very able to manipulate humanity if the people don't think and read and think for themselves.
It's a lot of things, common sense. They don't think for themselves. They kind of feel like high-minded because they have a degree. And they can feel talked down to you, think they are superior than you are.
Right.
But they are not. It's kind of at this stage of Earth, I just don't see how can we make through this thing. I have a lot of confidence in the future. But with the millennium and all these protests and how the media handle whole things, it's kind of doubtful. Becomes suspicious that we can make through this period at all. Negativities.
Right. Well, you have to remember, James, and I'll tell all my listeners this, that the white light is always stronger than the dark. And so I think we will get through. I have time travel to next year. And what I've seen in the future under that timeline is that we do make it through and we will get through this challenging time. Because most people want to live in harmony and peace. They don't want war and conflict, and I know we're going to make it. So that's my vision for the future, James. I know it's difficult. Of all the planets in this universe, my friends in the Galactic Alliance tell me that the Earth is the hardest one to affect any positive change. This is the toughest one. There's no other planet harder. But we're here. We're like the Marines, battling it out, good versus evil, light versus dark. And I know we're going to make it.
Yes, I think a lot of time they use seductions, like Satan's work. Madonna she put out pretty good, nice songs and things like this. Then she was seduced into Kabbalism, and she joined the dark side. And they found she's not such a good person to use for, and so they disposed of her, pull her down. She was working on stage on a show. They pull her cape and she fell down so Taylor Swift can come up on next show. So this is what happened if you work with dark side. You know, they can pull you down anytime they want. It's not very good for them or for anybody of this sense.
Yeah. Well, all of their efforts were fail. And this is a transitioning period. I've told that many negative entities here on the planet will be exiting planet Earth within the next year or two. They will not be allowed much longer here. They can have their fun now and do whatever they like, but they're not going to be around much longer to enjoy it. And most of them will go to another planet on the other side of the solar system, a third dimensional planet where they will live out their karma.
You know, this ship here, I heard when you turn on the mothership, it's like a Death Star. It's just like vibrating, singing the songs. So the reptilian cannot stand it, have run away. It's like a blow their head up. Well, run with some sort of love frequency. And so once the love frequency is run, everyone has to run and hide.
Really? Wow, amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
I was wondering why they, they showed me the little stamps right next to a ship. And they were telling me, how big the ship is, even though you see it on top of Mount Shasta, but it's real big. I don't know what the stamp stands for. I think it's Australia or something. It's a huge ship. So when this, once it turns on, the whole place glows up. It's like, last time I went to a ship, I seen the whole cabin glow in some sort of glow. It's kind of harder to get in right now. Mm-hmm. Because before they turn it up, you can just get in and out, but now, I was trying to get on the ship and doing this like carrier ring landing, right? Mm-hmm. And like, doing the docking and things like this. And people on ships are waving at me, hey, come on, come on, come on. So I take a break. And I come back. I try to get on the ship and I got on. That's when I meet the being the person kind of being.
Fascinating, James. Fascinating. Well, James, you're going to have to share your experiences with all of us again in the future. And I thank you. We've got about 2 minutes left, but I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on today. Are there any final words you'd like to say to my audience?
Humans have to do their parts. You know, nobody going to do everything for you. You need to do your parts. Like right now, you need to fight for the Trump. And, you know, Biden is corrupted. Actually, I heard that there are hundreds of thousands of Chinese troops staging on the Canadian borders.
Right.
And I heard, I think it's like when Biden win, they're going to pull the troops down in the U.S. and split up the country. And the sale of the country left and right, and you get this part and the left part. I think China going to get left West Coast and East Coast. Russia going to get East Coast of some other country. Mexico going to get part of it, something like that. But Canada going to get part of it. That's what I heard. I'm not quite sure. But right now, it looks like they're going to follow through with it. And also, China is heavily developing the nuclear weapon. They are going to use it. So when they use it, we're going to call in the cavalry and disable everything.
Right, right. Well, I think that's a worst-case scenario. I don't think it's going to happen, but we have to be. It's good to be aware of it, James, to stop their plans. And I want to thank you so much, my friend, for coming on today and sharing that with all of my listeners. You know what's funny is that the station had some technical difficulties this morning. And normally I was planning on having you the second hour, but you called in at just the right time, James, for the first hour, because that worked out great, because we weren't able to play my pre-record on the election during the first hour. So your timing was absolutely perfect, James. And I'm planning on going up to the ship later today or tomorrow. So why don't we go aboard the ship and you go to my quarters and we'll have a cup of hot chocolate or something.
Yeah, that'll be good to go. Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'll see you up there and maybe we'll have dinner in my quarters.
Okay, thank you.
All right, James.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for coming on today. That's my friend, James Hugh, coming to us live from Honolulu, Hawaii today. And he was on my trip to Mount Shasta. Wonderful man.